one-day only Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland from 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge on Pittsburgh's Bourbon Street. That's Southside, right?
Southside.
And this is episode 12.
The Dirty Dozen.
Wow. We made it.
We had a dozen. This is a big episode.
The Dirty Dozen. And
we have a special guest for this one.
Yeah, we have a very special guest. Someone with real talent.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the rest of us. Yes. Yes. Thank God we brought real talent.
That's right. Somebody with real talent. Maria Caruso, founder, artistic director of Bodyography Contemporary Ballet. But she has spent time, lived in New York, is bouncing back and forth, Broadway. And when I say Bodyography, Maria, I think immediately of Jim Krenn.
Thank you. Because of my how flexible I am and my ballet skills.
We may have an opportunity.
Lift that leg. Let's see.
Whoa.
During the course of...
She's got her leg all the way up.
Hamstring pull.
A little crackling going on.
Yeah, there. It's very bad.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for taking
this is,
time.
This is limber sitting.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, Jimmy's a new singer, so he's going to have to add and incorporate movement.
I need
Absolutely.
Some dance. I need a little dance, yeah.
I can be your choreographer.
All right, we're in.
Okay, I love it.
I could do a little...
Every movement. Week we make a new deal for Jim of some
Larry's
sort.
Trying to build
He's
my career.
He's going to be an actor in Demon of Brownsville Road.
Yeah, Larry's building my entire career.
There's not a podcast that goes by that we don't mention that, by the way. That's become our theme.
Let's get it out of the way. Maria is an artist. Let her evaluate. Mm-hmm. So there is a forthcoming movie called The Demon on Brownsville Road. We had the man behind it, Bob Cramner, and it was a fascinating story, but there's a place in this for an exorcist, and I have been pitching Jimmy, because he actually met the actual exorcist after he had retired.
Are you really?
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Since I've been doing the same line, I changed it up now, because we do this a lot. Now, it's now picture, I'm the exorcist, I walk in, there's the demon, right? You don't see it, but you hear it, and I got my little bag. And I got my priest clothes, and I'm like, you know, get out. Get out, you demon. You're going to stay. You're going to pitch in on rent.
Thank you. What do you think? Does it have promise?
Oh, tremendous promise. You have exorcised the demon.
I become the exorcist.
There's got to be a dance role in there somewhere, too,
I
right?
I think so, too. I feel like there's got to be. I feel like if you have long robes, I mean, we could do some floating, some borés. I mean,
borés.
I can teach you. We can do that.
Can you teach me like a moonwalk? It'd be real cool to moonwalk.
Oh,
out.
My gosh.
Like backwards, like, ooh.
And I hate to tell you, it wasn't Michael Jackson that invented the moonwalk. It goes back to the mid 50s.
Really?
What?
With a dancer. Really? I have the video. I'll show you.
How do you know this?
Wait till you see. You'll be shocked. But I want to know if Sheila has ever danced.
I have danced. I did tap and jazz back in the day when, you know, most of us young girls did those things. And I did a lot of musical theater growing up. And
musical theater?
I did, yes.
Tap is cool. Tap is so awesome.
It's like a dying art. You don't hear of anybody doing tap anymore, but they still do it on Broadway, right?
Yes, and the kids all the time, they're like, oh, tap. Oh. And I'm like, why do you not want to tap? It's like rhythm because everyone wants to do hip hop or contemporary. And I try so hard to get kids into to tap because it teaches rhythm and musicality, and it's just fun.
It was always so
Maria,
cool.
Like, Maria, come on, here.
Can you do it?
What are we doing? She's gonna do a little tap.
Let's see. Look, let's watch Sheila do some tap.
Stop, pop, step, flex. What? Not pop, step, flex. You can't hear it. My shoes. Oh, I should have brought my shoes.
You needed to tap.
You have Sheila, shoes of a dancer on.
Sheila does it.
And then how about this? Remember?
That's a way. Buffalo.
That is so cool.
Now we got to start cramp a TikTok roll. Version of this.
What's that called? Cramp.
It's called a cramp roll.
How you do it again?
Okay, cramp like, roll.
Toe,
I'm gonna
heel,
put my microphone down here.
Gosh, I have the wrong shoes.
Toe, heel.
Oh, you can do it. Yeah. So it's like toe. Right toe, left toe, right heel, left heel.
I can do that.
Yeah.
So nice Tory Burch shoes, by the way, too.
Thank you.
What's it called?
Cramp roll. And then you go.
Cramp roll. All day.
See how you do it?
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it good?
Would it make a little noise if you had little taps on?
Oh my gosh. I could make a song.
Before this podcast is over, Jimmy will cramp roll.
I do. I will.
I mean, if you
I cramp roll every morning, right out of bed.
I mean, I heard this comedian say, you know, when you're young and you're dancing or you're playing
cramp
sports,
yeah.
sometimes you get sore doing this or that. You wake up, you get injured. He said, I'm at a point in my life where when I go to sleep, there's a 50-50 shot I might be injured.
That's true. It's true. I feel for him.
You wake up like, what happened?
I pulled a hamstring.
I need shoulder surgery.
I did that.
I pulled a hammy.
Partial.
Sleeping. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I work in Atlantic City, I used to work at the Tropicana before I got into radio. And I used to, they used to have this cafeteria where, you know, all the performers were. And all the young ladies who were dancers, they're like football players. That's all they talk about is knee injury.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Jimmy, I got two knee surgeries here. I'm rehabbing this thing. And it's a grueling, physically grueling thing. They're like ball players. They only have so many years, too. They sit just like ball players. It's like being a running back.
Oh, it's intense.
Right?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah,
well,
I'm
you've
41.
Dealt with that.
I'm 41.
You're still cooking. You're
I'm
like Tom
kicking.
Brady.
Kicking like Van Damme on a good day.
You are. You're like Tom Brady. Damn.
You're not just kicking. I mean, you've been to Off-Broadway. You told us earlier that you were the only person to open, the only dancer to open two shows on the same night.
Yes.
Right?
So,
in New York.
Yeah. So what it was a little bit. So, oh, God. My two shows. So let me back up and just give you the whole story real quick. So on February 29th in 2020, I had a performance here in Pittsburgh. It was my first time ever doing my solo show, which I started in 2018 as a commission for the Carmel Dance Festival in Israel. And I, you know, toured with this work all over the world. And I had never done it in Pittsburgh because it was really personal, very emotional piece. And I was kind of like, I don't really want anybody that I know to see it quite yet. But I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be announcing that I have this 80s rock ballet going off Broadway. And I'm going to be announcing that I'm going to blow the roof off of this building in the North Shore here. And I'm going to build this theater on the top floor. So this one and done, February 29th, leap year. Let's just do Metamorphosis.
Okay.
Well, I left the next day. I had the performance, left the next day, and went to Brazil, performed it there, and then started heading off on tour, and then the pandemic happened. Oh. So I brought my company back. We were on our way to Italy. Brought my company back. Literally, the borders had shut at like 9 a.m. We landed. We were like the first people off of the plane. Everyone had hazmat suits on. It was kind of crazy. So, you know, obviously we kind of navigated through the pandemic, and as Broadway started opening back up, it was a question as to whether a large cast work would be viable. And my husband said, well, you know, if you can't do your 80s ballet, why don't you just talk to the producers about doing your solo show? And I thought, it's such high art. It's a high art work, meaning that it's very different than an 80s rock ballet, really. Okay. So he said, I don't know. He's like, I really just think there's a lot of content in there that speaks to people, particularly who have been through a pandemic. And, you know, it offers people a lot of solace. And I said, okay, fine, I'll send it in. So I submitted it. And then I ended up that show got picked up just by, I had no intention. I intended on Metamorphosis to be done on February 29th, 2020, and then it took on an entire new life. Well, then I had, then as the pandemic, you know, progressed and as things started opening up, it seemed viable to have a larger cast work and a solo show. So I had two producers, two different theaters, and I thought, well, I have the summer. I have 9 weeks. So, you know, I have to be back for September 7th from my building to start my 20th anniversary season with my company. Why not just do two shows on one day for 9 weeks? You know, let's just go kind of crazy. And everyone was like, Maria, are you crazy? Like, you like start in the other show. Like, that's like two full. That's like two.
The physical output's important. Amazing.
So you're doing one show in the afternoon and then you go do another show in the evening? Or?
So what happened was I thought I needed to separate them out a little bit. So I would fly to New York on Wednesdays. On Thursday evening, I'd have my solo performance of Metamorphosis, the more serious work. And then on Friday, my dancers would fly in from Pittsburgh. And then I would do a 7 o'clock show and they would be warming up with my rehearsal director in the basement of the theater that I was performing in. While performing, I would get off stage and I would transition in 30 minutes and we would together walk to the next theater on 50th and Broadway and I would be backstage ready to go for the next show.
I'm
tired hearing that.
Lara, if I do stand up for like an hour, I'm like beat for like 2 days, man. There's a lot of physical energy put out when you're performing. That'd be some stamina there.
Yes. Right? You know, I think I'm in the best shape of my life. And now for sure. I mean, at first it was intense, but then as I progressed, I guess when you think about it in the short term, I thought, okay, 9 weeks, I can do this. Four shows a week, 9 weeks, one night back to back. And at the end of the 9 weeks, Metamorphosis got picked up for an extended run and with additional shows. So I stayed in New York and still commuted back and forth. I closed Rearview Mirror, my 80s rock ballet, because I wanted a bigger theater. And so I got picked up at a bigger theater, but we just performed that last week. So so I stayed in New York until the end of October. And then at the end of October, I was supposed to still be in New York with Metamorphosis until the end of December. But I had all these amazing tour opportunities to go all over the world. And, you know, it is extraordinarily viable as a solo artist because, you know, especially during a pandemic, I'm one person, so I don't have a huge cast. I don't have a huge traveling team. So it makes it optimal to continue to produce artwork that's meaningful, to continue to be out in the community, because I do think that art in every capacity is healing and really good for the soul, whether it's from a comedic perspective or a serious perspective. You have a whole range.
Your life is so exciting. That's so exciting. The highlight of my week is if they had 2-for-1 chicken dumplings at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. That is
like my highlight.
I hear you, brother.
I'm like, wow. And it's like this and that in New York.
I was in Brazil and Israel.
If I take a trip to Westview with me. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Jimmy and I took a ride. We went to Century 3 Mall to see where we used to go.
Yeah, that's big.
That was big.
You know what? You should take this show on the road and join me. And I could put you into the show. I mean, really, there's talent here.
I've been waiting for
guys. I mean, there's talent
there's
here.
There's dance talent.
There's tap dancing.
Singing. Yes. Broadway has been calling me.
There's singing.
I'll be your announcer.
Guys, we're doing a Rearview Mirror here in Pittsburgh on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
I can put you in. I have some cameo roles.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call that? I know in opera, they call it a supernumerary. In the movie business,
they call it
extras. Yeah. For a cameo in a dance musical, what do they call it?
Call it a cameo, a guest star. You'd be a guest star.
Would we have to dance?
Do something like a little move?
Oh yes, of course you would.
You know, I was in.
I want to do a little move.
The opera.
I could do a whole piece just for you.
Oh
New Year's
gosh!
Eve.
Yeah, we wouldn't have much time to learn it.
I could have a couple beverages. It could be trouble, but I'd do it. I'm in.
You're talking about preparation. Why would things change now?
Larry, you gonna do it with me?
Well, let's talk it over.
This could be big. This could be huge.
I want
harmonica.
Harmonica.
No one's done it.
I do the mouth organ.
Very few.
Okay, I'm bringing the kazoo.
I have it with me too. But
you carry it everywhere you go. I noticed that.
You know,
I think it's cool.
You never knew that.
I didn't know until this year. It's really actually good. Actually, talented.
Percussion. I love it.
It's one thing you want to be able to do. One thing in the arts, singing, dancing. Or play a musical instrument. I had a nun in grade school that looked at my hands and said, harmonica. You'll never play the violin. I'm like, I don't want to play the violin.
You want harmonica.
Yeah. Who knew?
I'm going to produce. You know, you're doing my movie? I'm going to produce his album, his harmonica album. I have it all figured out. Like, we get some dusty look. It's going to be The Lovable Hobo, it's going to be called.
How about the recorder? You don't hear much recorder these days.
I dabbled in the recorder.
Did you dabble in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's be honest. It's not that exciting. We did play the kazoo. Cool, mm-hmm. We had the guy right in the same chair you're in who was the curator of Boaz Frankel of the
Kazoo Museum.
Yeah,
down near
Tennessee.
Am I right?
Carolina.
The kazoo is not easy to play.
Okay. I know.
The kazoo is hard.
We learned that.
Did you?
It's kind of a process, so we didn't know.
Billy Joel does the harmonica cool.
Harmonica's
cool.
Just line up with Billy Joel.
You could do Billy Joel.
All right, we want to talk a lot more about the arts, Maria Caruso, bodyography.
Yes, oh my God, you say that sounds so beautiful.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Check it out, Audacy. It's the free app, AUDACY, KDKRadio.com. We got a whole bunch of really cool people that we've had a chance to talk to, including Maria Caruso. All right. Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and our very special guest, Maria Caruso, the woman behind bodyography, contemporary ballet, but so much more. And I love travel stories.
Cool.
You've been everywhere. You were just in Italy?
Yes. I went 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I went from Portugal to Spain, Spain to Italy. I was performing. And then we headed to New York and switched gears. And I was doing Metamorphosis on tour. And then I went to New York for another run off Broadway of Riri Mish.
I need a new life.
Woo!
It's unbelievable. I'm so
impressed.
I just
got back in time to check out my facility and see how we're
doing. Where is your facility?
In the North Shore. So it's an old mattress factory.
Oh yeah, okay.
And
we're near the stadiums.
Yeah, right behind the casino more so.
Yeah.
And my amazing partner.
And you have a studio too in Squirrel Hill as well.
Yes. Wow. And my studio in Squirrel Hill, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but it was Gene Kelly's first dance studio.
That's pretty cool.
We didn't know that.
So it's got a lot of really great energy, and I'm not leaving that building. We're just expanding and trying to raise the roof. Actually, we're blowing the roof off the building, literally, which is causing us a bit of we have some delays because it's hard to get steel during a pandemic.
Really?
It's hard to get people.
It's hard to get people.
Too.
So,
to do
yeah.
anything. If you we need were... any steel work, you call Jimmy.
I'll tell you what.
I got that.
I need some steel work done.
You got that.
So you teach kids in classes, and that's pretty cool. Is that what
yes.
you're
so we have a conservatory, and our focus is teaching dance as a language, and which makes us a little different than the regular kind of dance conservatoire, and we also have an affiliation with La Roche University, so we have a college preparatory program where dancers in high school can earn college credits their junior and senior year and graduate from an undergraduate program like La Roche in a shorter amount of time. So it's basically what I did years in the 90s. I was the first person to do it and the last, and so I kind of re-piloted the program, and so that's what our connection is. And at the Movement Factory, which is going to open up hopefully in 2022, hopefully.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school up north in Ford City High School.
Okay. That far north?
Yeah. I did my junior, senior year in high school, my freshman year in college all in 1 year. So my mom drove me when I was 15. So I graduated high school and at 16, and I already was a sophomore in college. And then I left Pittsburgh and went to Florida State.
And you haven't slowed down since.
I don't really have time.
I'm just amazed.
My life is nothing.
How you find time for all? And you're in Italy, you're in New York, and yet you're trying to build this new dance studio on the north. We're so lucky to have you.
I'm still trying to figure out how to change the clock on my car.
Oh God,
and you've done all this.
That's a tough one. I still can't figure that one out.
But you see, the beauty of you, Maria, is you have people to do that stuff. You do all these things first. Mm-hmm. You do all that. You can get people to change your clock, Jim. I don't know if you're aware of that. You can go to YouTube.
I've been asking.
You can search.
Tell me out.
You know, you can Google just about anything.
I'm saying
that's true. Thank God for Google.
Yeah. We have a car where I didn't know how to change the clock when we did it a few weeks ago. I'm like,
So no one knows how to do that.
You know what, Maria? What we're trying to tell you is we're pathetic. We're really just pathetic.
No. Yes, yes, I'm pathetic.
The simple, well, technology has evolved so much. I can't figure out things half the time. I have to like ask my daughter. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know how to, like, and then the whole like social media thing, like, have you heard this? Like, Facebook is like, you're old. Like, oh,
yes.
Facebook.
Yeah. You're still on Facebook.
You're still on Facebook? And I'm like, oh God.
No, you have you not discovered TikTok?
Oh my God.
Snapchat. TikTok.
We're TikTok.
Instagram.
You know Bob Papiani, great sports guy here. Everybody knows Bob. Bob is one of those people, and Jimmy and Sheila know, he's doing everything all day, he's like every day. Energy. He's on the TV, he's on the radio, he's at the game, he's doing charity work. Now his daughter Selena's got him doing TikTok dances. Did you see this?
He's good at them. He's pretty good. Yeah, I did. He's pretty good at
them. It's not fair that people get that much in one body. Like, well, you, Maria.
Oh, like you're a slacker, Larry.
Yeah, really.
But I was going to say, do you ever slow down?
No. I'm afraid if I do, you know.
You have nine jobs.
Morta.
Seriously.
But gotta keep going. TikTok.
Yeah, but that'll be next.
Have Maybe you guys done TikTok?
We did. I'll tell you what. We had this young guy. He was here. Yes. And, you know, he had a lot of challenges in his life. He's
Brandon.
Real nice kid.
Yeah, Brandon Max is his TikTok name.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He has almost 3 million people to follow him.
Wow.
Now think about
that.
He
did a video with us.
Mind-boggling number. And it all started with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Right.
Him and his dad were at this place, and they had a bad grilled cheese. And he said, who could screw up a grilled cheese? So he does these little videos, and we marveled at the way he did it with us in the moment. But it was all edited up, ready to go, and he sent it off, and I don't know how many views we got.
He had a director.
Wow, six, I think.
He had like a director's mind, though. This
couple,
couple hundred thousand?
100,000.
Wow, really?
So,
we're famous.
The reason I say this to you is don't take that part lightly, because art is meant to be shared, mm-hmm. seen, felt. Right. So there may be opportunities for you and your dancers at some point to do some cool little TikTok videos.
Mm-hmm. I've got to up my game.
Jimmy can perform.
You've got to get some
energy.
You're clearly.
I clearly am not.
Expand yourself.
Yeah, I'm not with it. I'm moving so fast that I've not slowed down enough to recognize the importance of TikTok, and I'm embarrassed.
You're doing okay.
I mean, tell us more about the dance studio that's to be, though, that you hope to open in 2022. What it's going to be unique. Like,
oh, yes.
Nothing we've ever had in Pittsburgh.
It's kind of a multifunctional facility and space, and you know, I've worked with the architects to kind of like redesign it during the pandemic, because I said I'm going to be ready for the next pandemic. You know, you have to be ready. So when we created it, originally, it was going to be more so just like a convertible studio spaces that really turned into a black box theater. And since then, you know, I've really worked hard to think about, you know, performance from so many different facets. Can we do something in the round?
What's a black box theater?
So it's just a very traditional theater setup, you know, where
It's like a box, and it's usually black inside. Yeah, with black
seating. Not the traditional proscenium. Yeah. Basically, we're lifting up the roof, and we're creating four major studios that have walls that come in to separate it out. And then we have a wall where there are theater seats that you can pull them out of the wall, and then, you know, it will look like a traditional theater space where you have a performance stage,
right.
And then you have, you know, the traditional, stadium seating, but theater seating.
Right.
But I thought a lot about, you know, art can be seen in different capacities. Like, why can't we see something in the round? So that wouldn't work if we only make it accessible that way. So it's designed that we could have anything from a wedding to a performance, and we can cover everything. We can cover everything from, you know, comedy, theater, musical theater, cool. Dance, music, everything. And you know, my vision for the space is really to make it a very inclusive space, and it's really beautiful because you can see the city, and it's very atypical to have any kind of performance venue on the roof. You know, right. Are on the top of a building.
And but you will accept comedians.
We will, yes. I that was my whole vision, was to transition from being a performer to being a presenter. And so I'm looking for talent. I'm actively looking for talent.
There you go.
I got a little gig. I got a little routine.
I
the only
love
thing
it.
I can offer you, Maria, is this. There is no smoking in the theater. Please take your seats and shut the hell up.
The voice of God.
You do. Your voice is stellar. It's
thank you.
Amazing.
He's you know
Larry is, Larry's everywhere. He's like, God, I swear to God. I did a corporate last night at Rivers Casino. I'm like, here's Larry, like, announcing him. I'm like, God, Larry, you're everywhere I go.
I'm the over. They call them the overhead. So if you walked into the casino, you hear, welcome to Rivers Casino.
Yes.
And you know what? When you're in the bathroom there, too, you hear that as well. Please flush the
toilet.
Please
leave all your devices in your car.
Jimmy.
And good luck.
Jimmy, check your zipper before you go on stage for the show.
I did. But it's funny because I'll have friends that'll text me. Hey, I'm at Rivers Casino. Where are you at? I'm like, I'm not there. That's a recording.
I'll tell you, that was the first thing I heard when I walked in, man.
And then I say,
I was going to call
you. I said, what are you doing at the casino?
Yeah.
I'm setting them up, right? It's an obvious question. Oh, I just came for the buffet. I'm like, I'm not your minister. It is legal to gamble. I'm just like having some fun. So, Jimmy, you've got a new venue.
I'm excited.
Essentially.
Yes, I'm going to do stand up there and close with a soft shoe.
I love it. Yes.
Soft shoe.
I'm going to be like Sammy Davis.
Yes.
Sammy Davis did a soft shoe thing. Yeah.
Oh, my
right?
God. Yeah. We're going to do some cramp. We're going to.
Cramping,
oh, my God. Cramp rolls. Some buffaloes.
And we have to squeeze
this.
Build
up to this.
When Jimmy's
your dance, you have dance lessons now to go with your voice lessons.
Yes.
I mean, your schedule is just
total,
packed.
Yes.
I mean,
I'm totally remade.
Schedule for
schedule. Entertainment.
Jimmy's schedule. He'll be shooting that movie too.
Actor,
so that's gonna suck.
Dancer. Now,
you have to dance.
Larry, say actor, comedian, writer, dancer. It's gonna be a new thing.
I asked Jimmy how should I introduce you, and he told me, you know.
Actor, comedian.
In that order?
Renaissance man.
Renaissance man, male model, dancer.
Animal lover.
Nude model.
Male model. Or is there something we don't know about? Nude model.
Larry never mentions it. The other male models talk about it. So why does he mention it? I don't know. Does he not respect our profession?
I want you to know, so I'm not totally art illiterate, is I actually performed in a real opera at the Benenum called Aida.
Did you?
Do you remember a guy named Tito Cababianco? He used to be the head of the opera, and he invited me to be a supernumerary. And I'm like, what's that?
That's pretty cool.
It's an extra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like in a movie.
Like a cameo.
So we did a two-part TV piece, and I had no idea what I was getting into. So these are real operatic actors
and singers.
Did
you sing something?
Did you sing?
No, wait, no. So I said, what am I doing?
They played the harmonica.
Where I put the harmonica when I wasn't playing it was really the story.
Okay.
But we went to this dressing area, and I said, well, what kind of costume should I wear? And this guy comes out waving what is, in essence, an Egyptian thong. And
whoa.
I'm like, that's my costume. He goes,
no, it was
this
not.
Is it.
You're kidding
whoa.
Me.
No, no.
Do you have a now, photo of this anywhere?
I don't
you destroyed everything.
Yes, you do. You know that? Come on. So I go,
yes, you do.
I go, I'm the whitest body on earth. I said, how am I going to fit in with the Mediterranean look?
Oh,
you know, because it's an Egyptian theme.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we're going to paint your body. And I'm like,
he remembers
so
you.
They painted my body. They put a headdress with the makeup like the
you
Egyptian
do have a
makeup.
Photo. Please show me the photo.
Now I'm so embarrassed.
Oh my God, this is like the real deal.
And I'm sucking it in the whole time. Like, and I'm thinking, where am I going to put the wireless microphone? And so I'm talking to the other guys, and I said, what are we doing? And he goes, yo popliaros. I go, what's that? Street swine. Oh, typecasting.
Nice.
And then
started street swing.
I said, well, what's my motivation? I thought it, you know,
right.
They go,
a true actor.
They go, it's the triumphant march. Act like you're excited. I'm okay. Like, okay. So we get out on stage. And if you take a look at our video, so we had two cameras, the one that's the whole view of the stage, you see what here doesn't belong in this picture. It's me.
Larry, I got to see this. It's awesome.
I said, are you guys, this is on stage while we're doing the show. And I said, I talked to the guy behind me. I said, what am I supposed to do next? And he looked terrified. I stepped back, stepped on his toe, and then he started saying,
the best part is the guy that probably didn't have to paint your body, just did it.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Time to paint your body.
I gotta see this.
I do too.
Do you have this
I'm
song?
Dying to see
I'm sorry, we've run out of time.
Larry, you got to show me
Maria
this,
Caruso, Bodyography, Contemporary Ballet. That's so awesome. How could somebody who wants to learn more about what you do or participate reach you?
Bodyography.com. That's how you can find us. Everything about the what I affectionately call the empire, the arts empire, is all available there. You can find out about what's happening at the Movement Factory and what's happening in Squirrel Hill, as well as performances.
And soon to be on TikTok.
Exactly.
You've got to explore that.
I'm going to explore it.
It's about expansion of the arts. So if you can get a few more million people.
Of course.
Can't
well,
be a
I think
bad
that's going to happen
awesome.
With your cameo appearance on New Year's Eve in Rearview Mirror.
Let's talk.
The best 80s ballet out there.
I got nothing else to do.
Okay, good. I love it.
Maria Caruso, thank you.
Thanks, Maria, so much for having me.
It was so much fun.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Episode 12, The Dirty Dozen. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 12. And looking forward to closing out 2021. I know a lot of us are looking forward to hopefully what will be a better year for many. But in the meantime, I think over the next few weeks, people are going to be watching movies.
It's true, right? Yeah, this
right?
is the time you go to the theater or watch them, you know, obviously watch them streaming now.
They're supposed to be an escape from reality. And
it's still great. It's
we
fun.
Have a freelance movie expert. Will Ashton is here. Will, you're Will. Expert. Now.
I was going to say that's very high praise, but I appreciate it.
But you've done reviews in all kind of publications, right? City Paper.
Yeah, I've written for the City Paper. I've written for the Post Gazette. I've written for a lot of online publications, IndieWire, Business Insider, The Playlist. I write for CinemaBlend as well. So just a bunch of places.
Now the movies, I kept seeing ads for it. It's online. It's West. Side
Story,
which is like everyone's talking about Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg directed.
Like,
and that movie originally was
Robert Wise. Yeah,
and
1961. Yeah, 1961. Wow. Yeah.
So why 60 years later did they want to redo this with Spielberg?
Yeah, I mean, well, Spielberg has actually remade a number of his film or his favorite films before. Like he did Always with a Guy Named Joe, and then War of the Worlds in 2005, one of his favorite films, the original one. So I think he's been doing this for like what 40 or 50 years right now, and he hasn't made a musical, which is ridiculous. But I mean, yeah, he finally gets to make a musical, and it's one of those things where it's like you don't think about it, but like as soon as he does a musical, it's just like, oh yeah, he's like perfect for a musical. His choreography, everything he frames is so precise. That it just makes sense that he finally
a good
did.
Story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so, have you seen it?
Yeah, I just saw it on.
How does it compare to the original, and is it worth seeing?
Well, the original I think is one of the best musicals ever made, or movie musicals ever made. Right up there with like Singing in the Rain and all that. So it's hard to compare it to that, but I think it's a worthy remake, which is certainly high praise for a remake for sure.
Well, and the actress in it too is brand new. I mean, this is her first role,
yeah.
Correct?
Rachel Zegler is Maria in the film, and yeah, she's like I think like a teenager, just like her first major film. I think she was like on YouTube or something like that before this, but yeah, her first film, and she's outstanding.
Well, what about just the whole industry with COVID shutting down theaters for so long? I mean, they reopened, but they haven't come near to where they had been. This has changed the dynamic with streaming episodes that aren't movies, but they're kind of mini movies of all kinds. This has really stressed the old school movie business.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also we're just in a weird time now where like, what defines a movie and what defines a show? Like there is on Disney Plus, the Beatles documentary, Get Back. And it's like a 3-part, like 8-hour thing. And it's like, is that a movie or a show? I don't know at this point. But yeah, with COVID productions, it's just, I mean, I haven't been on set for a COVID production, so I don't quite know how it compares to a traditional film. But it's, yeah, it's just a challenge, especially for the theaters. I also, yeah.
The interesting thing, like you said, Larry, I'm looking at West Side Story online, it's on streaming.
Right.
And the other movie that's like everyone's talking about, I guess, as far as a possible Academy, Belfast.
Yeah, Belfast.
And if a movie doesn't have a car chase in it or any kind of like Goodfellas vibe, I'm out.
Right.
So I don't know.
Oh, you don't like rom-coms?
Gotta have, well.
What about?
Every once in a while, Love Actually.
Okay.
The big
I like rom-coms.
High adventure action movies, the Spider-Man Marvel
series.
Yeah,
that comes out. Yeah, I'm seeing Spider-Man tonight, so I... We'll have more of the report in a little bit, I guess, for that one. But
what got you into movies in the first place?
What got me in the movies? I don't know. I mean, my earliest memory was just being at my house and sorting VHS tapes before I could read. Like, I could see the logos and like, okay, so like that goes with this one. So, I don't know. Somehow from there, I just got really into movies. I don't quite know how it happened, but I'm happy for it.
What's your all-time favorite movie?
All-time favorite movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The original or the Johnny Depp?
The Johnny Depp one's fine. But Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is my favorite film. Yeah.
Okay, second favorite.
Probably Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Really. You know, it really is.
Yeah. It's like easily like one of the first few films you can show somebody. And, you know, I mean, they might get scared of the monkeys, but.
My brother works in the industry. He's been a camera operator in Los Angeles for 30 years. He took me into the studio where they filmed. There were tracks still on the ceiling that they wired the monkeys to
really?
Fly.
Oh, really?
That's where they shot the flying monkeys.
Oh, really?
Why something that trivial was so cool and exciting, I don't know, but I was into it.
That is interesting.
And it is. Just the whole business. Mm-hmm. I think Sheila and Jim and I are fascinated by the movie industry.
Larry's actually written and produced the movie, which is pretty cool. That's what makes you when you watch movies, you appreciate how difficult it is, right, Larry? To make a movie, you see a good movie, you're like, wow.
John Mowat and I wrote a screenplay called Amazing Racer, and it has Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eric Roberts.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Jason Gedrick, Claire Forlani, Daryl Hannah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Scott Eastwood, right?
Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son. I mean, if you get a chance.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? Is it streaming or is it available?
Now streaming wherever fine films are.
All right.
I believe it's on Amazon.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If you commit to watch it, now it's a family film, so it might not be, you know.
I like family
your
films.
Your
like
genre.
Films.
Okay. Yeah, sure. You watch it. Give me the invoice. I'll pay you for the five bucks. Sheila,
I'm gonna watch. I haven't watched.
I've seen it.
Will you take 90 minutes? I'll pay you for it.
It's a good movie.
You know what?
I recommend people watch
a bottle of wine first, and then I'll watch it.
A wine's always better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's definitely you could.
It's actually a great family movie, and it's got major actors.
It does, and it's timeless. I thought it would age.
Yeah.
With you know, it would be dated.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, it still works.
The cool thing is the actors that you got, man. That's a heck of a lineup, man.
Charles Durning, who was a Lifetime Academy Award achievement recipient, who stormed the beach at Normandy, was in a hospital for like 2 years, and that's where he developed his interest in acting.
Really?
Do you know that?
I had no idea. No.
I didn't know that.
Wow. You have lots of trivia in that brain.
I'm full of it, is what Sheila's trying to tell you, Will. So what else, if you had, let's list some more movies. So if you were recommending some go-tos for the holiday season.
Like what they should see? Let's see. Have you guys seen Dune yet?
No.
Is that worth a look?
They put that on HBO Max as well. I think it was day to date. Dune, if you can see Dune and West Side Story in theaters, I think they're the ones to see.
You don't recommend Belfast, do you think, or do you do?
Belfast, I think it's more that because it's now currently the front runner that I'm a little more negative than I was at the time. I think it's fine. The weird thing about Belfast for me is that when the movie was being promoted and released, they were like, this is Kenneth Branagh's most personal film. Like, this is a film going back to his childhood, all this stuff. And I watch it, and I'm like, this weirdly feels impersonal. Like, it doesn't feel like... It feels like him trying to do, like, the, like, 400 blows. Like, trying to, like, mimicking these other movies as opposed to doing something more from his own personal life.
It's the front runner for the Academy
Awards. Yeah, that one and Power of the Dog.
Tell us more about the Academy Awards.
Sure.
Is it too soon to try to make picks for that?
Currently the front runners are Belfast and then Power of the Dog, which is a Netflix film Jane Campion directed. That's Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst.
He's so good.
He's cool.
Benedict Cumberbatch, yeah.
I just watched... Mm-hmm. The director's cut of The Current War. It's the story about Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse.
Yeah.
Really?
And Cumberbatch plays Edison, The Current War.
Okay.
Because DC and AC Current were battling which would be the dominant in the country. And I didn't realize Thomas Edison, he was...
Like, kind of an ego.
Yeah. Oh,
but he was
ferocious.
Come on, he was Thomas Edison. Yeah. We got to give it up.
Yeah. All right, so he came up with a light bulb.
You're allowed to have an ego.
And the phonograph, whatever. Right. But Cumberbatch was brilliant.
Yeah, he's a good actor, man.
Name.
Yeah. And my favorite thing about that performance, I think if I had to pick one for like best actor right now, I'd probably pick him, Benedict Cumberbatch, because that's a performance where like you see it, and at first you're just like, okay, Benedict Cumberbatch, like, you know, the name Benedict Cumberbatch, like he's playing this rough and tumble, you know, cowboy, and you're like, how is like this very British posh, like Benedict Cumberbatch, right. going yes. to be, right. howdy, y'all, I'm Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, just like, and you see it, and it's like, oh, that's kind of the point, without giving too much away. It's like, yeah. he...
transforms in this.
Well, not only that, but like he, his character, there's so much to it as far as like he is embodying what a male should be, or in his view, like what the man should be at this time. And his performance is so layered, and that's not only like how the character is trying to portray himself, but how he's almost like aware of like he's in a movie and how he has to like kind of build this identity of being this, you know,
right.
perfect masculine male. And it really makes for a very thoughtful, layered film. I've been thinking about it a lot since I've seen it, for sure.
So when cool. you're watching a movie, you're looking for what you don't like, what's wrong with the movie, right? I mean, because you watch so many that you maybe don't watch it the way the rest of us do?
I guess. I don't really try to go into a movie being like, I hope I'm not cynical enough to where I'm just like, this is what I'm looking for is like, that's bad. That doesn't work. I just more
I
like...
that was part of being a movie critic, was sorta, being a little bit cynical.
I mean, for me, I think I just try to get into it. And then like, as I'm watching films, like, okay, what's sticking out? Like, what's not exactly working here? It's a very weird thing. I wish I had a better, more eloquent way of describing it, but yeah.
But that's a good point. And one of the things I notice now is if you don't go to a theater, which few people are going still,
right.
is there's a tendency, if you watch a movie at home, mm-hmm. you're looking at your text, you're, right. you're missing you're so focused. Much
yeah,
because presumably everything that's put in a movie
right.
visually and sound is supposed to build to a story and a message.
Right.
So if you are missing chunks of it yeah. along the way, you might not really get it.
No, that's, go, a good, that's a great that's point, because really there's times streaming where it's literally I watch half the movie, yeah. come back and watch it later, the other half. So you're not really, you know.
Right, you got to be locked in. Right. My brother that lives in LA, that works in the industry, is a purist. Like, he wants to go into movies. He doesn't want anybody to talk. I don't want to hear your candy wrapper opening.
Yeah, that's more or less what I'm like. I tried.
You like be, that?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So you go to movies during the day.
Yeah, I mean, I go anytime, really. But yeah, with Power of the Dog, going back to that one, I work at the Harris Theater, and we played, I think we're the only theater, besides maybe the Manor in Squirrel Hill, that played Power of the Dog. And unfortunately, attendance was pretty low because, I mean, like you said, like people are just like, well, I can just watch this on Netflix. Why would I go to the theater? But if you see the film, it's like, it's the type of film where if you don't fully pay attention, you could go at the end of it and be like, oh, like, I missed this. Why did that happen? But if you, like, pay attention, you see the little cues. It's if you really, you know, divide your attention to it, just focus on it, it becomes such an enriching film. And I think I love going to the theaters because you can have that distraction from the world. You can fully put your phone away, or I hope people put their phone
my,
away.
My favorite thing about going to the theater, I go whenever there's a film that was made in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I like to hear people behind going, you can't go through the Armstrong Tunnel and then end up on Grand Street. You can't do that.
You ever see...
That's so true.
Right? Oh, here, you can't see, make a left there. It's
not
one
anatomically
way.
Correct.
It doesn't yeah. work. He's on Mount Washington all of a sudden.
I just watched for Halloween. Have you seen Innocent Blood? It was filmed back in the 90s.
Yes. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I just saw it for the first time. There's a scene in there where Robert Loggia is like driving, and he like goes like somehow through the Liberty Tunnels, like all the way through Pittsburgh. And it's just like, as a Pittsburgher, you're just like,
can't do that
grammatically, like how is that possible?
But nobody else in the country knows, so they don't care. All right, final question.
Okay.
Will,
sure,
is, and this is one I have to see in a theater,
okay,
is Top Gun coming out next year?
Yeah, it's coming out in May. They keep pushing it back, but as of now, at least, it's coming out like at the start of the summer movie season 2022.
I mean, we're gonna go.
We gotta go.
That's you and me.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll buy the popcorn.
All right,
Will Astin, where can people find your work?
Sure. Well, yeah, I got my shirt on and everything. I do a podcast called Cinemaholics with my friend John Negroni. We do that once a week. We just reviewed West Side Story. I was talking about that the other day. And then I also write for a bunch of publications. I'm actually in the transition period between one publication to another, so I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, and you can follow my work. So.
And we can find you at the Harris Theater as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you see me at the Harris Theater, hopefully I'll be in a good mood. I'll say hello.
All right. Thanks, we appreciate you coming out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sheila Hyland, thank you. This is going to wrap up 2021.
We got some things oh, okay,
coming in the new year. Maybe some travel would be involved.
Yes.
You know, I'm, you know, funny when you said 2021, remember we were like kids, man.
It seemed like
no, but you think it'd be like driving, like we'd all be wearing like silver spacesuits and like driving the Jetson cars or something in 2022, yeah. man. But
now there's a guy in a Tesla actually doing that.
Actually, it is working.
I remember when Prince's song
Party like it's 1999.
Yes, that's so last century.
Yes.
Yeah, it seemed like forever. Jim Krenn, and I want to thank Rick Dolnack, who is a fantastic actor, and our producer, Dick Roberts, Jim Pitolsky, our engineer, who's done a fabulous job, and everybody for participating. If you've gotten this far, you're a dozen in. The Dirty Dozen. Locked Larry 13, Richard, yes. Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. And we want to thank 23rd and Vine, Bob Bozzelli, Louis Caputo. Happy New Year. Download on the free Odyssey app or go to kdkradio.com.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.